Stay with me for just a minute. As we were singing that, I was thinking in Isaiah in 64, where it says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence, as fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence." At the presence. That's what we're doing here tonight. We've gathered to be in the presence. And that song's a powerful declaration. Especially at the end, will you put the chorus back up there? Your name is power. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. And I don't know about you, but in this season, that is my prayer. That the presence of the Lord would be so strong in a church. That the presence of the Lord would be so strong in a nation. That it would be a consuming fire that would burn away everything that is not pleasing. That it would burn away everything that is separating the people of God from His presence. So, Father, we pray tonight that your presence would be heavy in this room. We thank you that you're already here. But, God, we pray that you would continue to be here, that preaching would come easy, that the word would be spoken. God, and we pray that very prayer, God, that you would rend the heavens. God, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence. God, every mountain of impossibility, every mountain of confusion, every mountain of fear would be cast out in the presence of Almighty God. God, I pray tonight that you would give us ears to hear. God, hearts to receive and to understand. Father, and that you would speak in this room and have your perfect way. And we love you and we thank you and we will give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen and amen. Thank you, thank you, Aaron. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen, amen. If you listen to the phone tree today, I don't know if I was what you were expecting, but I'm what you get. So I hope you are glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I am, and I believe it's going to be a great time. I'm not going to be before you long purposefully because we're going to get back into the altars. I hope that you're okay with that. I think there's nothing better than being in His presence. There's nothing else that takes precedence, and well, we're just going to pray. If you got to get up early for work, that you'll have some supernatural strength tomorrow. But I don't know if you got to be in service with us this last weekend. As we had Pastor Andre Van Zyl. He's been coming to our church for many years. And it's such a powerful, powerful weekend. Honestly, in my opinion, I was thinking back through some of the other years that he's been with us. And I believe that this past weekend has been one of the most powerful weekends that we've had with him. I believe the presence of the Lord was on display. And he does walk in such an amazing power, such an amazing anointing, the prophetic apostolic anointing to lead and to be a voice into the church. And we kind of joked on the phone tree, and not really joked, I'm not going to call it a joke, said I'm the prophetic evangelist that came in tonight, so I'm going to talk to you like the evangelist. And I don't ever want to put my, yeah, no joke. I don't want to put a label on my ministry, but I do believe, you know, the prophetic office is a powerful office, an important office in the church today. And how many of you know the prophetic office doesn't always look just like what Pastor Andre came and did? That's an important part of the prophetic office, when he can come and he can speak a word to you. But I also do believe that the Lord has given me some level of a prophetic anointing, and it is to speak into the church, to speak into the body. And I mean, Pastor even confirmed it. I remember the first time I preached on a Sunday morning here, and he talked about how sometimes the Lord will give a man a word for for a specific church, but then the Lord gives people a word for the church. And tonight I do feel like it's a word that is applicable absolutely to this house, but is also applicable to the church as a whole and in general. And so if you have your Bible, if you would turn with me to the book of Exodus and chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3. And I'm just going to kind of work through this tonight, to be honest. As I was preparing my heart early this morning and thinking about this, I've got a ministry stop coming up here in a couple weeks. And to be honest with you, I had thought that this was going to be the word I was going to preach there. And then this came up tonight and the Lord said, no, I want you to preach it here. And so I'm excited to preach the word. I believe it's going to be a powerful word. But how many of you remember, as Brother Andre was here and Sunday morning, he was talking about the echo that comes from the church. And we were looking, I believe it was in Mark chapter 5, as Jesus is coming across to deal with the demon-possessed man. And the demon-possessed man knows who is coming to deal with him, because the ministry of Jesus had already had an echo. And then we talked about on Sunday night the bow, the bandages, the oil, and the wine, and how that's so important in every aspect of our lives, in every aspect of our ministries, that we as Christ followers are carrying the bow with us. And then on Sunday night, we talked about intensifying the identity. Intensifying the identity. And tonight I want to come to you with this thought, though, and kind of tag team with Pastor Andre, Brother Andre, and finish out a couple thoughts that I had as I was thinking about that. But I'm going to focus a lot on intensifying the identity. Because how many of you know that in order to intensify the identity, you first have to know what the identity is? You can intensify the identity if you've never had an encounter with the identity. And so tonight, this is a very familiar passage of scripture, Exodus chapter 3. But I'm going to preach to you tonight, and I'm going to title it, if it needs a title, Burning Bush Encounters. Burning Bush Encounters. So in Exodus 3 verse 1, it says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked. I want you to catch that right there. We're going to come back to it. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. How many of you know that's a miracle in itself? If I was walking through the woods and saw a tree on fire, but it was not burning, it would get my attention. And that's why I want to note where it says, so he looked, because I believe that we're living in a day and in an hour where the Lord is speaking and he is revealing. But I want to ask you tonight, are you looking? Because it says he looked. And I want to tell you that there is a difference between looking and then giving something your full attention. Moses stopped at the moment and he did give the bush his full attention. It'll say that as we go on. But how many of you know we're living in a culture right now where often we look at something for a moment, we look at it for a second, but then we're right on our merry way because we have no patience for anything. And it, especially in the house of God. There's no priority for the presence in the church. If there was priority for the presence, every seat in this room would be filled right now. Let's just be real. I'm going to preach it's the evangelist. The reason it's not filled right now is because there are people who prioritized other things over than being in the house of God. But Moses stopped and he looked. And as he looked, I want to keep on verse 3. It says, then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Let's go on to verse 4. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. You've got to catch tonight that the call of the Lord came when his attention was in the right place. And it's the same for us. The call of the Lord will only come to us. It will only come to our lives when our attention and our focus is set in the right place. How are you going to expect to hear and receive the call of God when you are not in the presence, when you're not in the secret place, when all we do is come on a Sunday and come on a Wednesday, but then spend no other time? There was a moment where Moses had been. He had been out in the wilderness for some time, but this was the moment that the Lord said, I'm going to get your attention because I have a call. call, I have a purpose for you to go and deliver my people, for you to go and deliver a nation. And I came to tell a church tonight that there is still the same call and the same purpose. There are still people bound up in sin, bound up by the grip of the enemy. And the Lord is calling you and I to go and be a deliverer to the people and proclaim the acceptable news of the Lord. Let me get turned to Exodus 3 myself real quick. Sorry, I started in Isaiah and didn't get flipped over there. God is waiting for those who will stop to be in his presence. He's waiting for those who have an ear to hear. In Mark chapter 4, verse 22, it says, "For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear, because with the same measure you use it, it will be measured to you." That's powerful right there. "And to you who hear, more will be given." Listen, I don't want to miss the word of the Lord in this season. And I also don't want to be the person that has the word, that has received the gift and not put it to use. Because when I put it to use, I can count on a greater measure, and I want to have a greater measure. You need to have a greater measure in this season, because without it, it's going to get tough. It's going to be hard to carry out the will and the call of God. It is hidden, but it's hidden to be revealed. And it's only those that will stop long enough to hear and answer the call to who it will be revealed to. But I want to tell you, if you want to answer the call and you want to host the presence, you must be willing to pay the price to host. And oftentimes we may not know what that price looks like. It could be a price of our reverence and our respect. It can be a price of our holiness, of our time, of our purity, of our energy. And when the Lord called Moses and asked, "Moses, Moses," and Moses says, "Here I am." I think I've said this here before, but that word translates to hineni. And what that means is it means total surrender, even before you may know what is asked of you. And I want to be that way in this season. I want to totally surrender every part of my being, that the Lord may use me how he sees fit. Because reality is, I think if we expected the Lord to reveal to us his plan for our life before we gave our surrender, we probably wouldn't give it, right? I mean, there's been some things the Lord's called me to that I didn't want to do. To be honest, I didn't think that I would be 21 years old and preaching the word of God to you tonight. It's not what I wanted to do when I was a young person. Or I'm still young, but when I was like in high school, end of high school, I loved the Lord. I faithfully served in ministry and at the church, and I knew that that would be a part of my life, but I had ambitions and things that I wanted to do outside of this. But I can tell you, when I gave my surrender, and when I stand here before you tonight and get to preach this word and get to declare the good news of the gospel, there is nothing in this world that brings me more fulfillment, that brings me more joy, than to get to be in his presence and to get to share the good news. The presence comes at the sacrifice of the flesh. It comes at a cost. But let me tell you, there's a high price of the flesh, but if the price is paid, you will live on a much higher plane of spirituality. If you learn and you begin to sacrifice your flesh, you begin to cut away the things of your life that do not please the Lord, he will begin to reveal himself to you more and more in greater measure. And it's the same way we see it. The Lord continues to reveal himself to Moses time after time as we read throughout the scripture. But it's because Moses began to answer the call and began to walk it out faithfully before the Lord. And sadly, many in the church are not willing to pay this price. Even ministers, ministry leaders are not willing to pay the price of the flesh in order to step into more. Even people that I personally know and talk to, they're not pastors and ministry leaders, but they serve in the ministry. But I can tell you, and it's not a judgment thing, it's because I've had the conversation with them, and some of them have told me themselves. That they're okay with living in a place of compromise. Right. because they get just enough of a fix here in the church to last a couple days to get to Wednesday, to get to Sunday. But then they also get to have the comfort of the flesh. But it is time that the church cuts away the comfort of the flesh, cuts away everything that is unpleasing to the Father, that does not bring him glory. Because listen, the time we're living in demands it. Pastor Andre said it the other night and I loved it. He told the lukewarm church, he said, count your days. And I got behind that. Count your days, lukewarm church. And here's the deal. When the lukewarm church, it will start to disperse. It will start to break up. And that's okay, but you better believe when the lukewarm start walking out of that door and people who are hungry for the power and the presence of God stay in here, the lesbian will walk through that door. The addict will walk through that door. Those who need deliverance will walk through that door and they will come and find the power and the presence of Almighty God and will live a life that is forever changed because of those who are willing to pay the price, to count the cost, and to walk out the mission of the kingdom in this hour and in this day. They get satisfied with the ease of enough instead of a desire for more. But I tell you tonight, it's time to shake off your satisfaction and it's time to get desperate for more. And I remember as I first started kind of kindling a heart for revival in my life, and I remember thinking it almost sounded bad to say I'm not satisfied. Right? You know, we all have had that. When you're searching for more of the Lord and we say, I'm not satisfied, you begin to think, I'm ungrateful. I shouldn't be. But I think there's a two level to this. There's a fleshly side and there's a spiritual side. And I can say, you do need to live in the fleshly side, if you will. There's a level of contentment that you need to live at. But it's in the spiritual side that there should never be a place where you reach full satisfaction. Because when you get to that place, you will reach a point of no return. But as I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about what it means to be unsatisfied with where I'm at, it doesn't mean that I'm unthankful. It means just the opposite. It means that I'm thankful for where the Lord's brought me to, but it also means that I've tasted and I have seen that the Lord is good, and I long to taste again and again. I won't be satisfied with just one encounter. I won't be satisfied with just seeing the Lord at a burning bush, but I want to ask him, Lord, show me your glory again. And I want him to hide me in the cleft of the rock and cover my face and make his goodness pass by me, that I could follow him even more. And I came to say and declare tonight that this house will pay the price. This house will count the cost, and we will walk out what it means to search out the presence, to be a place where the Lord can come and create habitation. It goes on to say, where'd I get to? Like verse 4 or 5? We'll pick up in verse 5. It goes on to say in verse 5, then he said, do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I could preach that in itself. Are you reverencing the holy ground? Are you reverencing the holy place in your life? Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Aren't you thankful the Lord sees, he hears, and he knows? So I have come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land, from that land, to a good land and a large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Did I say all those right? All the ites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. This is why we have to get our cry back. Because the cry of the children of Israel came to the Lord. He saw the affliction of his people, and he's about to act on it. Come now, verse 10, come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Verse 12, so he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. I love that wording right there. You shall serve God on this mountain. And I want to tell you tonight that you need to pay attention in your life to the areas of visitation. When the Lord visits, you need to be paying attention, because the visitation is an invitation to habitation. When the Lord visits, it is because he is inviting you to welcome him completely into your life. We saw the Lord visits Moses on the mountain. It says in like verse 1, verse 2, says the mountain. And then it just goes on to say, when you have brought the people out, you shall serve God on this mountain. The very place I have visited you, when you return with the people, this will be the very place that I will inhabit you and where you will serve me. But can I tell you tonight that you can decline the invitation. You can decline it by not making room after the visitation. Dad preached on it last Wednesday night when he talked about the Shunammite woman and Elisha. There was a series of visitations, but when he visited, she then took the opportunity to build quarters for him so that he could inhabit and so there could be habitation. May we build quarters for the Lord to inhabit in this day. Listen to me, and I'm not talking about this church specifically, but I'm talking about the church as a whole. I am tired of being in the Pentecostal denomination and having no Pentecost. That's not to this church. Hear me clear. But there are churches within this state in the Arkansas Assemblies of God who have said that their services on Sunday mornings are no Holy Ghost zones, verbatim. I was talking to a pastor the other day and he was telling me this story. They said it to him. No Holy Ghost zones. When the Holy Ghost is in a back room, nothing will happen. You've hit the point of no return. You've hit the point of spiritual stagnation. You've hit the point of the ease of enough. We don't want the Holy Spirit because we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to weird anybody out, but I can tell you right now that when there is a sovereign move of the Lord, when there is a true inhabitation, there is nothing weird about the presence of God. Don't tell me that you're teenagers and that you can sit and watch all of these shows, play all of these games, watch people murder somebody on a screen and yet get uncomfortable in the presence of God. It makes no sense. The presence of God is a place where joy is found, where peace is found, where freedom is found, where every need that you have is met in the presence of the Lord. You cannot have habitation or the presence or revival while still occupying high places of compromise, though. I'll go back to compromise. The two don't go together. The presence will not befriend your flesh. The presence will not join with your flesh. Flesh begets flesh, but spirit begets spirit. When you begin to get in tune with the Spirit, when you begin to connect with the Spirit, you begin to produce spiritual fruit. You begin to produce the things of the kingdom of God. But when you have linked your flesh with the Spirit, there's no produce coming from that union. In fact, there's no union there. It does not happen. He's looking for those who will pay the price in order to bring deliverance to his people. And this was the purpose of Moses. And here's where I might get a little happy as we're going throughout this. Let's keep reading on. Let's pick up in verse 13. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. And I want to jump on down for the sake of time, and as we're reading this out, let's look to verse 19. As the Lord is talking to Moses, and he says, but I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not even by a mighty hand. Notice a mighty hand. But the Lord says, so I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all of my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give you this people favor. And I will give this people, favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed, but every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and of clothing. And you shall put them on your sons and your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. Listen, the purpose of Moses and the purpose of the same purpose we carry was to be a deliverer for the people of God. As you understand, we're getting to this point in Scripture, and the people of God, the Israelites, had been in captivity for hundreds of years. And their focus had shifted, and the Lord was ready to hit the reset. How many of you know in 400 years of bondage, your focus is going to shift? In moments of bondage, your focus begins to shift, which is why we have to guard the gates of our lives. We have to guard what we're putting in. But as the focus had shifted, the Israelites, the people, they were recognizing Pharaoh as God, if you will. They were recognizing Pharaoh as an idol. And to this point, and honestly, it's because up until this point, for generations, that's all they had known. All they had known was Pharaoh, but God was looking to change the standard. The world knew the greatness of Pharaoh, but they knew it because of the title and the position that he held. Pharaoh was oppressive. He was abusive. He was an idol to the people of Israel. And these are the things that happens when someone and something is put above God. But I can only imagine, because God had said in this moment, he said, they've had their eyes on the greatness of Pharaoh, but I'm about to take my man, Moses, and I'm gonna put him in front of my greatness at the burning bush, and then I'm gonna put him in front of Pharaoh. Because the Lord knew that if he sees the magnitude of I am who I am, then every idol will crash and Pharaoh will become insignificant. And I can only imagine as Moses was standing in the presence of God and he asked him, well, who do I tell them that you are? And God said, you tell them that I am who I am. Because God knew that if he could get the people to have a revelation of the I am, the idolatrous spirit of Pharaoh would be smashed and they would understand the power of Almighty God. Listen to me. The Lord is speaking to the church in this hour. Get your eyes off of Pharaoh. Get your eyes off of Pharaoh, off of an earthly substance, and set your eyes upon the I am who I am, and get a fresh revelation of my magnitude and of my greatness, that every idolized thing in your life would come crashing down. They got a revelation of who God was. In the American church, they have an understanding of church, but they have no understanding of who their God is. But I came tonight to say that the Lord is gonna offer a fresh revelation. He's gonna offer a fresh understanding, a fresh encounter to reveal to you who he is and who his and the magnitude of his power. Worship team, if you'll join me quickly for just a few moments. You ask how all of this somewhat connects to what we talked about with Brother Andre. You ask why intensifying the identity is important. It's because we intensify the identity in order to release the echo to a region that is slaves to the enemy. But if you cannot intensify the identity, if you don't know the identity, listen to me. With Moses, there was a national deliverance, Israel, based on one man's encounter in a secret place. A national deliverance because of one man who had an encounter with God. If you want a nation to be delivered, if you want to carry the bandages, oil, and the wine, if you want to have an echo, if you want to intensify the identity, it will only happen in a secret place. It will only happen in the presence of God, and it has to be more than twice a week for a couple hours. Listen, we've got to get out of the cycle of 4 points in 30 minutes, make you feel good, send you out the door so nothing changes. But I'm ready for the power and the presence of God to break out in our churches, in this church, in every church across this state, across this region, across this nation, so that the echo of the Lord would be heard and would shake things from the very foundation. You must get in the secret place, because when you're in the secret place, the oil comes, the authority comes, and the encounters come that intensify the identity of who Jesus is. It's time to intensify the identity, church. A nation needs it. A nation needs a Moses. A nation needs you. You have been delivered for a reason. Your freedom has an assignment attached to it. There was a reason that Moses grew up in the king's palace. And there was a reason that Moses was delivered from the king's palace to the wilderness in order that he may be sent back to be free. The king's palace represents several things, but it can represent a place where Moses was bound, where he was not able to be himself. But when he was delivered, and I can imagine that when Moses was delivered and the Lord came to Moses and said, I'm about to send you back, there was hesitation. Come on, most of us don't want to go back to the things that used to hold us captive. But can I tell you tonight that the Lord is getting ready to call you back to those very things? And it's not that you may get bound up in them again. It's not that you may get trapped in the same perversion, in the same addiction, and whatever used to hold you captive, but it's so that you could come and proclaim the I am who I am and lead a nation, lead a people, lead a family into the freedom of God. We must relent, not relent, sorry. We must not relent. We have to cry aloud and spare not. We have to go before. I'm going to go back to Isaiah real quick. Give me just a moment. I didn't know I was going to go here. In Isaiah chapter 62, verse 10, it says, go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, take out the stone, and lift up a banner for the peoples. The Lord is calling us to be the forerunners. The Lord is calling us to go before. And as we were in here praying one day on a Thursday, I came across that scripture as I was reading through Isaiah. And it resonated in my spirit so much, because it has been spoken over our church. Brother Andre spoke it. Many people, Pastor Dwayne. The new season that we're stepping into. And it's been prophesied. But can I tell you tonight that there comes a point where it can't be prophesied. You have to step into it. And may we step into it tonight. And I believe we've already stepped into it at levels. But tonight, may it be the Moses moment of here I am, full surrender. I don't have to know the plan. I don't have to know the purpose. I just surrender my being, my entire life. I prioritize the presence. I prioritize the bandages, the oil, and the wine, that I could be a deliverer to the people. And it's nothing in our own might, nothing in our own power, but it is by the Spirit. And we've for too long been trying to fight carnal fights with carnal weapons. But how many of you know the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds? Stand to your feet across this house, if you will. I want to ask you tonight, are you ready to have a burning bush encounter? Are you ready to have a moment with the Lord where you surrender everything in order that you might be the one who gets to be used by the kingdom to bring deliverance to a nation? If that's you tonight, I want to invite you to make a step forward. And I'm going to pray, and I may come back and give a couple more altar calls about some things. We have time tonight, looking at the time. But tonight, if that's you, you say, Lord, use me. I surrender my life. I want to invite you to come for just a few moments. And I want you to have a moment with the Lord at a personal level. Nobody else was there when Moses had his encounter. We've got to learn to minister to the Lord on our own again. And so they're going to lead for just a few moments. I want you to take a moment to have a personal moment of rededication. And as the Spirit leads, we'll come back and go from there. So Father, I thank you tonight for your presence. I thank you tonight for your word. Father, I pray that everything that was spoken was from the throne room of heaven, God. God, that nothing was said that was unpleasing to you, God, and that we have received the word. God, I pray that all of our hearts in this place are challenged, God, to pursue you, God, to lay aside the flesh, to lay aside the areas of compromise in our lives, that we may carry out the kingdom purpose and the kingdom mission, that a people group, God, a nation, this state, this region, this city, every person who is bound, God, by the grip of the enemy, Lord, may we pursue you in order that we could be the one who gets to lead them to deliverance, that gets to lead them to the freedom that is found in your presence. Father, help us. Father, we ask for a fresh revelation of who you are tonight. We ask for a fresh unveiling, God. God, give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say in this hour. Give us hearts, God, minds to understand. God, we surrender to you in this moment.